O Holy Spirit of God, help us to become masters of ourselves, that we may be the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen.
When our family lived in Atlanta in the 90s, I fell in love with morning glories, particularly the bright blue ones. And one year I planted a bunch of them all along our fence line in the backyard, which was a chain link fence that separated our backyard from our neighbor's backyard. And I would go out in the morning and I would just glory in all the morning glory blossoms. They covered almost the entire fence eventually and created a wonderful green screen of privacy. Then our neighbors put their house on the market and they hired somebody to keep their yard up in the back. And one day, I looked out and I saw that all the morning glories on the fence were wilted and dying. And I went out there and I saw that they had been severed from the main vine. They were cut off from their source of life. Well, we moved to Maine in 2001 and I tried growing morning glories with absolutely no success. You probably know that to grow morning glories, you have to have heat. And heat does not exist in Maine. So, however, there were a lot of perennials at the house that we bought. And there was a flowering vine on the corner of our deck in the backyard that had beautiful yellow trumpet-like flowers. And then when the seed pods came and the flowers blossoms went away, they looked like little Dr. Seuss creations. They looked like little truffula trees. They were all puffy. It was a wonderful, wonderful vine. Well, after our first winter in Maine, the vine looked completely dead. Now, I'm not much of a gardener, and I didn't know what kind of vine it was, so I decided just to let it be for a while. In fact, that's what I did with all of our things in Maine. I just was wait and see. Maybe they'll come back. So along came spring. Now in Maine, this was late May, you understand. And all of a sudden, this dead vine came to life. Not just at the root or the source of the vine, but all over. I had not cut it back, and it was still attached to the fence. And everywhere, these long, brown, dead-looking vines, green leaves started sprouting out of them. I was astounded. The vine that had appeared to be dead and lifeless was actually very much alive. It was connected to its source of life. I know now that vines have to be tended. And I've never tried to grow grapes, but I understand that a vineyard is a long-term proposition. The vines are planted, and then they need to be tended for several years before they can grow, be productive and grow the good grapes. In fact, in order for the vines to bear the best grapes, they have to be pruned early and often. And the best grapes, I hear, are always found closest to the central vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. In other words, Jesus says, God is the master gardener. And God is the one who decides what needs to be pruned. God is the overseer of the vineyard. Jesus continues, abide in me as I abide in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. God, the master gardener, Jesus, the true vine, and all of us, the branches. And then we have pruning and abiding. At first glance, they seem to be very different. Now, pruning is necessary for fruitfulness, but it is rarely welcomed by people. But abiding in God has overtones of comfort. It's a comforting image to me. Pruning is not a comforting image. To be pruned means that some part of you is lost. And no matter how much that part of you might have been hurtful to you or other people, most of us get rather protective of ourselves and our way of being and our way of doing things. Most of us do not welcome being pruned. You may remember Augustine of Hippo's famous prayer, which he prayed to God and became famous after he wrote his Confessions. He prayed, "Give me chastity and continence, but not quite yet." He was being honest. Augustine wanted to be changed, but he was not ready to change. He was not done with a part of his life that he needed to let go of. And sometimes the need for the pruning, or what feels to us like pruning, is not at all clear to us. Perhaps when we are going through hard times, it's not God that causes the hard times, but perhaps then God, if we offer it up to God, God will help us help that become pruning. I'm not sure. A friend of mine who was getting beat up in her work situation said to me recently, "I've had quite enough character building experiences for now. Thank you very much." So, as much as we might like to have the abiding without the pruning, Jesus tells us that the pruning and the abiding are held together in God, and that bearing fruit and becoming my disciples go hand in hand. Cannot have one without the other. The image of us as branches and Jesus as the vine also speaks to us of the importance of the community. Now, we are steeped in a culture of individualism. And we are born with Descartes echoing in our mind, I think. I think, therefore I am. And there's much good that can come from a person becoming the best individual they can be and using their talents and becoming proficient at something. But if it is not done for the good of the community or for the good of the world, of what ultimate good is it? Jesus tells us we cannot go it alone. And Jesus calls us to a life in community, A life that is described not by I think, therefore I am individuals, but by this African proverb, because we are, I am. The writer of 1 John says it clearly, I think, about love and God. We love because God first loved us. He might have said, we are only able to love because God loved us first. Only when we abide in God's love for us can we become conduits of that love for others. So what does that look like, abiding in God? It might look like a woman, newly widowed, who wraps her prayer shawl tightly around herself each day as she prays for the strength to get her through this time of grief. Or a man who, when beat up by a community he felt called to lead, falls in love with God all over again and is given strength to carry on. Or maybe a couple who, after many years of trying to conceive, finally adopt a child who turns out to be severely autistic, and they allow the stress of that situation not to drive them apart, but to lead them even deeper into God's presence. It is like floating in the warm waters of the Gulf, abiding in God, in whom we live and move and have our being. But finally, it is a matter of trust. We can trust the promises of God, our master gardener, and of Jesus, our true vine. We can trust that no matter what it looks like, no matter what we look like, or how we feel, when we are connected to Jesus, to the source, like that brown, withered truffula tree vine in Maine, we can trust that when we are connected to the source, to Jesus, we too will sprout with new life and new growth. Amen.
Amen.